So I want to thank you for looking up this message online and joining with us. It's been an interesting last few weeks with people giving testimonies at church and others among the body bringing messages. It's been enjoyable and interesting and different. This message is for May 16th of 2021. My Bible subtitled it Paul's Testimony. And Acts 22, 6 to 21 was the part of Acts we would have covered last week had Dan Schmidt not brought a message and his wife Tammy not shared her testimony. And it seemed like a good idea for me to do chapter 22, or verses 22 to 29 in chapter 22 also, which was the original text for today. Seemed like a good idea Monday. I'm not sure when it all gets done whether that was right or not. But so we're going to talk about Paul's testimony, Paul's life before his conversion, Paul's conversion, and then Paul's life after his conversion. So my outline fits right into that. Paul's conversion, point one, Paul's conversion experience. Number two, Paul's post-conversion experience. And number three, Paul and the Roman Tribune. Every believer has a testimony of life before we were saved, how we were saved, and what life is like after we were saved. So every believer should be able to summarize their testimony before they were saved, how they were saved, the circumstances around that, and what life is like now after they have been saved. Johnny Cash often gave his testimony at Billy Graham Crusades and sang some wonderful songs as well. He said, "A few years ago, I was hooked on drugs. I dreaded to wake up in the morning. There was no joy, peace, or happiness in my life. Then one day, in my helplessness, I turned my life completely over to God. Now, I can't wait to get up in the morning and study my Bible. Sometimes the words leap out of the scriptures and into my heart. This does not mean that all my problems have been solved, or that I have reached some state of perfection. However, my life has been turned around. I have been born again." Amen, Brother Johnny. Now, Johnny and I were not so nice of guys, but June and Julie were very nice women who wanted to do right. June Carter Cash and Julie Holmes were really women who wanted to do what was right. God, in his love and grace, gets all the glory for Johnny and me being born again. Unquestionably, it's God's grace and his glory and his life sacrifice of his son that gets all the credit for me and Johnny being born again. But Julie and June get credit for a lot of love and prayers that helped. Now, part of that is to encourage some of you out there that you may have a rascal in your life. It could be a man or a woman. And you're born again, and you would really love to see that experience happen to the rascal in your life. Don't give up loving them unconditionally. Don't stop praying and begging God to intervene and touch that person. I'm of the opinion that God listens to prayers of mamas and husbands that love their wives. I'm going to read to you from the NIV version of the Bible, Acts 21, verses 6 to 21. It goes like this. Paul said, "I had almost reached Damascus. About noon, a bright light from heaven suddenly flashed around me. I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice speak to me. 'Saul, Saul,' it said, 'why are you opposing me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' I asked. 'I am Jesus, of Nazareth," he replied. "I'm the one you're opposing." The light was seen by my companions, but they didn't understand the voice of the one speaking to me. "What should I do, Lord?" I asked. "Get up," the Lord said. "Go into Damascus. There you will be told everything you have been given to do." The brightness of the light had blinded me. So my companions led me by the hand into Damascus. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a godly Jew who obeyed the law. All the Jews living there respected him very much. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." At that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, "The God of our people has chosen you. He wanted to tell you his plans for you. You have seen the blameless one. You have heard words from his very mouth. Now, you will give witness to all the people about what you have seen and heard. So what are you waiting for? Get up and call on his name. Be baptized and have your sins washed away." I returned to Jerusalem and was there praying in the temple. Then it seemed to me that I was like dreaming. I saw the Lord speaking to me. "Quick," he said, "leave Jerusalem at once. These people will not accept your witness about me." "Lord," I replied, "these people know what I used to do. I went from one synagogue to another, putting believers in prison. I also beat many of them. Stephen was a man who gave witness to you and others about you. I stood there when they killed him. I agreed that he should die. I even guarded the coats of those who were killing him." Then the Lord said to me, "Go. I will send you far away to people who are not Jews." That's the end of that scripture. Paul's defense to the mob is not to argue, but to relate a personal experience. Think about that. A personal experience is the most unanswerable argument on earth. Paul will stress his identity with the mob that he was a Jew. Then Paul will stress his identity with the Romans that he was a Roman citizen. So our outline, Paul's conversion. Number one, Paul's conversion experience. Paul's experience was different than the people traveling with him. A, the light. That day, about noon, a bright light from heaven suddenly flashed around me. Everyone saw the light. The Message translation says this of Acts 22:7-9. "I fell to the ground, dazed. I heard a voice, 'Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me?' 'Who are you, Master?' I asked. He said, 'I am Jesus, the Nazarene, the one you were hunting down.' My companions saw the light, but they didn't hear the conversation." The end. Have you ever experienced something like this? Well, maybe not the bright light thing, but a group of people and just a small few hear God. Have you ever experienced that? The first time I heard God speaking to me was in the busy coffee shop, the Coffee Cove, in the basement of Moody Bible Institute. I had invested the morning in a conference that centered on Bible Institute's missionary department. The last session was missionary aviation, and they talked about being a missionary who got into a small plane and went to remote areas and brought the gospel to people. Then I heard the Lord. My Lord asked, "Would you like to do this?" Then I saw in my mind, kind of like Paul was saying in a dream, I was in a small aircraft flying over a dense jungle. When we came up on a clearing, I pushed out a bundle of tools and supplies. We circled around the second time over the clearing, and I pushed out a second bundle of tools and supplies. Did that one more time, and on the fourth trip by, I jumped out in my parachute and landed in that big open area. I developed a runway there and a base camp. And then a short time later, the plane came back and landed with missionaries in it. I gave them my camp and all of my equipment, gave away all the clothes that I had. Just the bare clothes on my back was all I got in the airplane lift, and flew back to the base camp to do it again. I answered the Lord, "Oh yeah, I would. But what about Julie and Monica and Chris? I can't just leave them," I asked. "That's the end." You see, he knew I loved Julie, Monica, and Chris more than him. Then there was a little over 3 years of silence. The next time I heard his voice, and he asked me to do something with him and for him, I said yes, with no conditions at all. Is your heart and mind ready if he would speak today? You see, the first time my heart and mind wasn't ready, and I often daydream about what life would have been like creating missionary runways around the world, but I wasn't ready. Be ready is what I'm encouraging you to do. Live ready so you don't have to get ready when he speaks to you. Live in a ready state of obedience. Be on your outline, the Lord. Paul had been zealous to persecute Christians, but when he was on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, something amazing happened in his life. In Acts 22:7 from the NIV Bible, it says this, "I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?'" That's the end. Did you notice Jesus did not ask, "Why are you going here to persecute the church and Christians?" You see, if a Christian is persecuted wherever, either by attitude, action, or word, then Jesus is hurt. When any born-again believer is persecuted, Jesus hurts. You see, Jesus is the head of the church. We are joined to him to be one body. If one body part hurts, the whole body hurts, even the head. One time I was leading a Bible study on discipleship, and we went around the circle and tried to say who was this part of the body or what part of the body that person was. When it came around to me, the leader of the group, one of the guys says, "Well, I think you're the funny bone on the elbow. Yeah, you just get bumped into and everything goes kind of kiwonkus." See on the outline, the life. Paul does a good job of summarizing his life. Paul also does a good job of summarizing the normal Christian life. That's the two things that I saw there. Paul was saying there are simply three items in our walk with Jesus and his Holy Spirit. Did you see them? Did you notice what he was saying? First, we are to look for this each day. It is to know the will of God. That's the first thing. This first goal is the one every Christian is to know God's will for their life and to obey it. Sometimes that's the written word of what you are to be up to. And sometimes it's a unique experience, like my Coffee Cove thing. Second, we are to aim each day to walk in the presence of the risen Lord. This is our goal, and our top thing on our to-do list each day is to walk in the Lord's presence, right behind him, one step to the left, and follow him through our day. Third is to hear God's voice. This is kind of hard to do sometimes. The Bible and our bishop say that the Holy Spirit is always speaking. Christians are always listening for the voice of God, listening to it above the noise of the many voices we hear from the world telling us where we should go and what should we be doing. It's been my experience that when I live the first two, the third comes easy. When I live those first two, not my will be done, but your will be done, and seeking to walk in his presence like King David, it's pretty easy often to hear the Lord's voice, or like Johnny said, have words from the Bible jump right out and into your heart. Can you see these three things are true? What will you do about that understanding? So point two on our outline, Paul's post-conversion experience. A, Paul received physical sight. So first thing, physical sight. Paul was a very competent, capable, educated, motivated individual, and he may have experienced helplessness for the first time here. God brought Paul to a complete stop. Then he restarted his life with new operating software. Today we would call that a reboot. So God shut everything down, installed new software, and then rebooted. Just like you and I do on our devices all the time. B on our outline. Paul received special insight. Received special insight. God's will for Paul's life was expressed clearly, and he was instructed to start immediately. The Message translation of Acts 22, 15 and 16 says this: "You are a key witness to everyone you meet about what you've seen and heard. So what are you waiting for? Get up, get yourself baptized, scrub clean of those filthy sins, and begin to personally be acquainted with God." That's the end. Paul did. Paul is doing that here with this mob. He is giving them his testimony just as he was instructed that very first day in Damascus by Ananias. So point three on our outline is Paul and the Roman tribute. And this is actually the scripture we would have normally been scheduled to do today. I chose the NIV Reader's Version to read to you Acts 22, verse 22 to 29. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they shouted, "Kill him! He isn't fit to live!" They shouted and threw off their coats. They threw dust into the air. So the commanding officer ordered Paul to be taken into the fort. He gave orders for Paul to be whipped and questioned. He wanted to find out why these people were shouting at him like this. A commander was standing there as they stretched Paul out to be whipped. Paul said to him, "Does the law allow you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty?" When the commander heard this, he went to his commanding officer and reported it. "What are you going to do?" the commander asked. "This man is a Roman citizen." So the commanding officer went to Paul. "Tell me," he asked, "are you a Roman citizen?" "Yes, I am," Paul answered. Then the officer said, "I had to pay a lot of money to become a citizen." "But I was born a Roman citizen," Paul replied. Right away, those who were about to question him left. Even the officer was deeply alarmed. He realized that he had put Paul, a Roman citizen, in chains. That's the end. A on your outline, the crowd's demonstration. Demonstration is your blank. These people listened intently to Paul, but when the word Gentile was brought out, all their anger, and it exposed their pride. They were supposed to be the light unto the Gentiles, telling them about the one true God. But they had renounced that mission, and they had become separatists and exclusive. God's plan, however, would not be stopped. These Gentiles were hearing the good news through Jewish Christians like Paul here and Peter other places. The Message translation of Acts 22:22-23 says this: "The people in the crowd had listened attentively up to this point, but now they broke loose shouting out, 'Kill him! He's an insect! Stomp on him!' They shook their fists. They filled the air with curses." The end. Sadly, we've seen many demonstrations in our last few years. But the source that brought out the anger and exposed the pride is not so different. It is truly an amazing experience to be in a large crowd and have your emotions and action steered by that experience. You may have experienced this in a large sporting event, or a large worship experience, or in an angry, destructive mob. For example, when I'm going to a Chicago Bears game and I'm at Soldier's Field, I'm not really thinking when I enter the tunnel, quote unquote, that I am going to scream my head off, yell as loud as I can, cheers for the Bears. But what happens every time is, and I get in the tunnel and all these Bears fans are cheering, I'm in. The first time I went to a Promise Keepers conference, there were 10,000 men there. It was the first time in my life that I had sung praise songs with 10,000 men. Zero women's voices, but 10,000 men who didn't have their wives standing there telling them they couldn't sing, so they didn't sing loud. And I found myself singing at the top of my voice, worshiping the Lord wholeheartedly. And it was really cool. You see, the effect is the same when you get into a large mob, like there in Jerusalem, or at a Bears game, or another experience. Sometimes you've been in a big church and you get carried away. There is a phenomenon like that. Just last week after church, Dan, who had brought the message, and Ken, who had led us in worship, and I were having a conversation, and Dan was expressing how awkward it is to do a message like this when you're sitting alone, just with a laptop and headphones on, and how different it was Sunday morning when he got in front of the congregation. And Ken was saying the same things. Well, when I practice the worship songs at home, all the guitar licks and go through the lyrics, it's way different than when I get in front of the audience. And they both looked at me, and we know, Wilmer, when you do a message online, it's a lot less time than when you're in an audience of people. Be on the outline. The commander's dilemma. So my next D word is dilemma. The Romans were following their normal operating procedure, which was they would beat a confession out of the accused. There was probably places that are still like this in the world where this is a common practice. This was simply the most effective way to extract either the truth or a confession. They just beat it out of them. Jesus knew how this felt on his back. The scourge was a leather whip with sharp pieces of bone and lead attached to the end of it. And they would whip several lashes, and then they would question the person. The truth is, few men survived it in their right mind, and most of them died physically. So experience these 40 lashes always made people mentally disturbed and often physically killed them. For the Romans, problem solved. See on the outline, the clear danger. So your last D word is danger. There was a big problem here. It was illegal for a Roman citizen to be scourged without a trial. Paul's question stopped the centurion because, by law, a Roman citizen could not be punished until he had been proven guilty of a crime in court. Paul had been born a Roman citizen where the commander had purchased his citizenship. Buying citizenship was a common practice and a good revenue source of income for the Roman government, but citizenship that was bought was considered to be inferior to citizenship by birth. These men were in big trouble. They could lose their lives for putting a Roman citizen just in chains. The penalty for that was death if Paul pushed it. So Paul let them know that he was a Roman citizen. That really complicated for these soldiers. If they can't beat a confession out of Paul, what are they going to do with him? Stay tuned. We'll find out next week. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for Paul's testimony and for the challenge on each of our lives to share our personal testimony, our personal experience of what our life was like before. What were the circumstances when you saved us? And what is our life like now afterwards? God, give us the courage and your perfect words so that your grace, your glory, your forgiveness can be received by another. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
My daddy always told me, hold your head up high. It's just one moment in all of time. If you can't see it, just close your eyes and believe it. It's all inside. So keep on keeping on till the walls come down. Reaching higher till your feet don't touch the ground. Hear the power of grace flowing out your mouth. Let me hear you. If you need freedom, pennies and silver dimes. So rest your head, child, it'll be alright. Just keep knocking and we shall find. So keep on keeping on till the walls come down. Reaching higher till your feet don't touch the ground. Hear the power of grace flowing out your mouth. Let me hear you. If you need freedom,
till the walls come down.
Stop at walking when you were made.